Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Hey, produce people! Welcome to the Global Fresh Series, covering all things international and the fresh produce world. Today is May 15th, 2024. I am your host, Juanita Galio, coming to you from Long Beach, California. Whatever time zone you are joining us, welcome. We enjoy delivering information from all aspects of the supply chain, and one that is often overlooked but very important is cybersecurity. Today's guest, Greg Gatzke, CEO of ZAG Technical Services, will discuss what these risks are to the agricultural sector and how to mitigate them. But before we hear from him, a few quick announcements. On the international front, if you just happen to be in Paris today or if you plan to drop into Paris, it is the start of Fresh Fell Europe annual event happening today, May 15th through the 16th. Closer to home and the event getting closer to us is the West Coast Produce Expo 2024, May 30th through June 1st in Palm Desert, California. And tomorrow, May 16th, join us for our next virtual networking event at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with our profiled guest, PACA attorney June Monroe. You won't want to miss this. And to our Global Series sponsor, a big thank you to Proudly Canadian, Peak of the Market, a privately owned company connecting great farmers and quality products with caring consumers. The produce industry has traditionally done business on a handshake, but with tech advancements comes unknown risks that can put produce companies at risk, draining funds that can never be recouped. Greg is going to tell us what the three major risks are and how to mitigate them. Welcome to the Global Fresh Series, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Glad you are here. We have had every type of topic on the show pertaining to the fresh produce supply chain, but this is certainly the first for cybersecurity. Growing up on a vegetable farm in Wisconsin where you raised lettuce, you switched gears and worked in the aviation industry in Silicon Valley, eventually returning to the fresh produce world, creating ZAG, Z-A-G, Technical Service. What a great asset to combine technology and farming. As the subject matter expert, what are some of the latest IT trends impacting the ag industry?
Oh, thank you so much for that. When you think about ag, you know, you always think about the inputs, right? The labor, the water, things like that. IT and computer systems and OT systems are able to automate that and make them more efficient with reducing labor, reducing the amount of water, reducing everything. So that's really what everybody is focusing on right now, is driving that. Of course, cybersecurity.
Efficiencies.
Yep, efficiencies. But of course, you know, as those efficiencies happen, we become more and more dependent upon them. And therefore, cybersecurity comes into play because your systems have to be up in order to be used.
And what are some of the risks or factors that you're seeing at companies that you're working with?
Yep. So we normally see several types of risks. The first is ACH fraud. That's where criminals try to get you to change the bank account that you're paying bills to. So you'll send the money to them instead of to your vendor. We see that a lot, and that ranges from $40,000 in losses up to $200,000. And we've seen at least one that has, not in my clients, but at least one that has been over $1 million. So that's a significant thing.
Yes. Well, if this is the most common one, is it normally maybe an inside job, like an employee that's left, or someone from the outside? Are they able to crack into the system and or hack into the system and do this?
Yeah. So historically, it's always been thought of as an inside employee job, but now it's not. Now it's your vendor, their account may get hacked, and the criminals will go in as that vendor, and they'll send emails from that vendor's email address. So for you're doing everything right? You received the email. So it's gotten to that level, and that's where most of them come from now. And really, the best defense, there's a lot of defenses you can do, but the best is to have policies in place to say, pick up the phone, call the known good number, and validate it with a person with a known good number. So doing that solves for the ACH fraud. Any questions on that one?
No, continue. I'm finding this fascinating because when you think about it, it's not just even the large companies, but even individuals have this happen.
They do. They do. It is everybody. The second type of attack that we see is what you read about in the newspaper, and that's where the criminals come in and they crypto lock everything, meaning they make the computers unusable unless you pay them. So that's the one that gets most of the press, and we see that continuing to happen. We keep thinking that maybe we've gotten past it, but it's still happening all the time. And so that one is one that most people are aware of. Boards are talking about it now, but it's one that we have to continue to defend against and be ready to recover from should it happen.
So this is something that's been happening with the hospitals, and even some government organizations recently have been attacked. And I like to say they hold them hostage, that
That's absolutely right.
if you don't pay the ransom, then they're not going to release the records. What is your opinion on that? Do most people pay it, or is it better just to
So let me unpack that a little bit. So first of all, why do you hear about hospitals and you hear about governments? Well, because those people have to report it. It doesn't mean that it's not happening elsewhere. It's happening everywhere. It happens, distributors, it happens agriculture companies, manufacturing companies. It's across the board. We strongly recommend that you do the upfront work so that you don't have to pay the criminals. Number one, they're criminals, and why would we want to pay criminals? But also, you should be able to recover faster than paying a criminal will get you to recover. It's not like you give them $1 million and they're instantly back working. It still takes a lot of work and a lot more work to ensure they're out. So we recommend always do not pay.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that if you pay them, they could come back and maybe do it again.
Yeah, actually, the FBI reports that there's a high percentage that they keep coming back after you do it. So, so that's the second attack. The third is when they come in and before they encrypt you and make you so that you can't function, what they'll do is they'll look for files that include things like social security numbers for employees and stuff like that, and they'll send that out and they'll host that somewhere on their environment. And then they'll threaten to release that if you don't pay them. And the problem with that one is if they release it, if they release it, then you're going to be running the risk of having a class action lawsuit type thing for not protecting the employees' data, stuff like that. And that can be really, really painful.
Yeah, because you got a double whammy there versus some of the others. But out of these three that you've described, which seems to be the most common that you're seeing within the ag community?
So I would say the first one is the one that I believe is happening the most of, and people are just not reporting it. They've still got some shame around it, and they don't want to admit that they sent off, whatever and money and lost it based on that. The other two kind of happen hand in hand, and those are happening a lot. So really all of them, but probably the first one is the most underreported, and people just aren't aware of it. Although everybody that I talk to has been hit with an attempt at some point. Not everybody falls victim to it, but everybody's been hit by an attempt.
I'm curious, at what point do companies contact you? Is it after the fact where, it's like call 911, we've just been hacked, we've realized that ACH or we're being held hostage? Or are companies becoming savvy enough to realize, let's contact you because we want to have an assessment and take some precautions so this doesn't happen? So at what point?
Yeah, we still get calls, after the fact, and we'll run to the fire and try to help the client and get them recovered and get them back up and working. We definitely do that, and we've done one very recently. But we are also getting a lot more calls from people to help them prepare for and defend against this type of an attack. And I like to give insurance companies a little bit of credit. Insurance companies are coming out now with you've got to do X, Y, and Z in order to be insured for cyber insurance. And that has been a great foundation to really level up everybody's defenses. But no, companies are reaching out to us more, and that's great to see.
Yeah, and I'm sure that your background with farming, I mean, both Wisconsin and then your family moved to Florida and continued farming, has really played a major role in you understanding, because I would think crossing over from IT into farming, you have the knowledge of both to be able to combine that to work with the industry.
Yeah, it definitely helps. It helps to know the people, right? Farmers are a certain type of people, and it's a trustworthiness, and it's say what you do and do it,
Yep, exactly.
and all that, and it just really lands.
Yeah, especially from an industry that not too long ago, everything was just done on a handshake. It's hard to believe that. I was talking to a retailer who's been around probably as long as I have, and I said, remember when things were on a handshake, and now it's handshake to algorithms. So I think it kind of shakes the foundation of the farming industry in general, because we are so trusting. There's so many people we've known forever that we just there's our guard is down sometimes.
Yep, for sure. But also, if you think about it, farming, in all honesty, is people think, well, farmers, they just do what they've always done. But in reality, farmers have always tried new technology, right? And we all have that row of equipment that's not being used anymore because it just didn't quite work out. But yet we're doing all these new modern things, and the farming really embraces all this stuff. So it's good to see that too.
Especially from an industry that not too long ago as well didn't believe in websites.
Well, yes.
I
Not too long ago, they didn't exist, so.
know. I remember, why do I need a website? And now it's from website all the way to let's get our cybersecurity plan in place.
Yep, that is required. Good night.
And are you finding that it's all levels of companies, the companies that might have just 1 to 50 employees versus, the larger corporations?
Yeah, every company has to do it. You mentioned, everybody's a victim of ACH fraud. Grandmothers get hit with ACH fraud, right? So everybody has to do it. So the small company has to do it, the large company has to do it. Where I think kind of the break is when you think about, the amount of technology that a company uses and the dependence upon it. So like a manufacturing organization that puts salad in a bag or something like that. They require so much technology versus someone who doesn't, just is growing and stuff like that. So their time to recover is much got to be much tighter, and their reliance on technology is just kind of all up that much more important. So you got to think about things like that versus this number of people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it doesn't it, value is value, whether you have 1 to 50 employees or, 1,000 employees. There's
Yep.
value in each organization.
Yes, and in fact, there are different steps that you can do based on that. Because one thing that everybody knows about IT is they can spend every dollar that you have trying to defend yourself, right? But there's a limit and a place that's right, and it's different for different companies. But that's part of what we do is try to figure out, what is the right amount of spend to keep the company up and running in an event, knowing that there's always some risk. So it's risk mitigation.
Yeah, and it's kind of like in same thing like insurance, any kind of insurance, your house insurance, your car insurance. Sure, you're paying out quite a bit, but it's worth the risk if something does
Absolutely.
happen. So you like you said, it's risk mitigation. Well, I think this is a great time to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to discuss the Farm and Food Cybersecurity Act of 2024, which has there's a lot in there, and I think that maybe you can shed some light on that and how that's going to work with this whole future. And we'll take a quick break and hear from our fabulous sponsors and those relationships in the produce and supply chain industry. Don't go away.
In the morning, I always pour a cup of coffee and grab a banana. Before Equifruit, I never thought twice about how my banana was farmed. And now that I'm a banana badass, I care about fair trade, which ensures fair pay, gender equity, and safe working conditions. This is why Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Welcome back to the Global Fresh Series. If you are just joining us, welcome. And a big thank you to all of our fabulous sponsors. Let's continue our discussion with subject matter expert Greg Gatzke of ZAG Technical Services.
Thank you.
So sorry about that, Greg. Yeah, I'm glad you're back. When we left, I mentioned the Farm and Food Cybersecurity Act of 2024. If there's anything you can shed some light or information to our listeners, that'd be very interesting.
No, I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity. So the government is worried about criminals and foreign adversaries coming into our environments and going into our networks and stuff like that. They reference some countries are coming in and just sitting in our network waiting for something. Others are coming in to destroy the network and damage it. So the government's coming together and bringing forward an act that will help focus on that and help people level up. And so, you know, generically, I'm supportive of it because we need to do these defenses. We are a critical for the nation. And so we just expect to see more and more stuff like this. Obviously, they start with energy. They start with, healthcare, stuff like that. But ag is so important to this country that you're going to see a similar type role coming.
Yeah, you could cripple the food system.
You absolutely can. You absolutely can. And criminals already, you know, remember when they went after a Colonial Pipeline, they crippled that. So, not eating is a big deal. And so, we expect to see more like this. And like I said, you know, I think today insurance is kind of leading the way with some of the requirements, but I think it's very natural that the government's going to need to step in and just try to level it up. Because when you think about it, ag takes a lot of technology and a lot of effort to produce, but we're also always driving the cost down. Those two things don't go hand in hand with cybersecurity. So I think someone needs to step up and kind of ensure that we're protected.
Yeah, I think the introduction of this bill shows the critical factor where this has arrived. It's like you said, it's increasing more and more, and it looks like it's all sectors, not just agribusiness, but certainly here we're getting hit as well. And when you go out to assess a company for their risk, what are some of the assessments, the factors that you use?
Yeah, so doing an assessment is critical. We've actually gone in and we've helped get foreign adversaries out of a network that have been in sitting waiting to do something bad. So what we end up doing is we actually work with the IT team of the company. So we're not one of those people that come in and try to brute force and break in and, you know, point and see we failed you here. Instead, we do it more as a consulting role where we identify, you know, where the weak points are, and we actively work with the company to be stronger. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the difference with us. So we bring in various tools where we're looking for known risks, but then also we've been involved in so many attacks that we look for those as well, how those criminals previously got in, and ensure that they're defended that way. So all of that kind of gels together to do a review.
When you see these attacks, are you seeing a pattern which might indicate, do you think it's the same group of people or different groups?
Yeah, so the business has gotten so profitable for them that they kind of tend to, they have almost like franchisees, think about it. So they use the same tools, the same processes, but different groups. There are definitely, they'll go after one path, exploit it, and then, you know, the industry as a whole will stop that, then they'll find a new path. So we definitely see that they try different things and go different paths. But we always keep a running list of everything we see to make sure that everyone that works with us is protected from everything we've seen, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And how far along before someone in a company realizes that they've been hacked or this is going on? Does it sometimes people catch it right away or it takes time?
It's all of the above. Yeah. So you can actually, we put in security operation centers for some people. That's actively monitoring. Those people tend to know as minute something happens that the criminals are in and work to get them out. Other people have been sitting there for months at a time, the criminals have been in there. But too many people find out when they blow everything up and shut everything down. And
Well, there's
that's
no
kind of
money
the
in the bank
market.
account left.
Or when there's no money in the bank account. Yes. So it's all of the above.
Well, that definitely keeps you busy. And are you operating throughout the US or in certain just certain regions?
Yeah, we predominantly operate in North America. We have US, obviously, the vast majority. We have Canada. We've got Mexico. We actually do a little bit of work in South America and Central America. But that's predominantly where we're operating today.
Is there any one commodity that seems to be hit the most or the hardest?
No, I think it's all commodities, to be honest with you. But again, it's where you're at in the chain, in the food chain, and how much dependence you have on the technology. So the closer to, putting the salad in the bag or doing the next thing, the impact is just so much bigger. But we've seen grain operators get hit, so it's all of the above.
Very interesting.
It is. Keeps us awake.
I read that. I bet it does keep you awake at night. And I can bet that your own personal computers are locked tight.
Yeah, I try to do what I can do.
So when these people change course, that's probably what keeps you so busy, just trying to anticipate, well, what's the next, where's the next snag coming from?
For sure. But ultimately what I tell people is the number one thing you have to do is make sure that you can recover, right? We spend a lot of time keeping people out when that's effort that is well spent. But you always have to plan for the worst, and therefore have a system that you can recover, backups, what we call snapshots, which will allow us to roll back to before when the criminals got in. Having something like that gives you a lot of relief because then you know that you can restore and you can recover if you're ever hit.
Well, speaking of recover, are they able to recover any of the funds that were siphoned off?
There has been cases where it has happened. I've actually quick reporting to your bank, quick reporting to FBI, et cetera, is critical on that. You don't have a lot of time to waste on that.
When you find incidents or cases that you're working on, are they normally reported to the government organizations like the FBI?
So I can only tell you, in my experience, the clients we work with almost always they often report it. They more often report it than don't. They've come to understand that there's really not a risk in that, and that some major companies that have been hit have come out publicly saying they've been hit and have shared the information with the industry. And people have to realize, I have a friend, Johnny McGuire, who with Nunes, he likes to say we've got to burst the shame bubble, and it's brilliant because we need to do that because
I would
that's
think
the only
so.
way we get better, right?
Yeah, exactly. You want to know actually what to what extent the activity is happening, how rampant it is, and where you need to put those walls up.
And if your neighbor gets hit, you shouldn't get hit. And if you should get hit with something, your neighbor shouldn't get hit with it.
Yeah, and any idea where a lot of this activity is coming from? Where these
It's
groups
come.
are located? I'm just curious if you have an idea. No one really knows, but I'm just curious if what the consensus is.
Russia, China, Eastern Europe,
What about
Iran.
Africa? Any parts of Africa, or would you say it's
ACH fraud is traditionally that was kind of the humor for a little bit, but yeah, it's there as well. But normally it's Russia, China, Eastern Europe.
so there's definitely no hope of going to getting your money back from this.
Yeah, although the federal government's been doing a pretty decent job, it's just there's a lot of it going on.
Yeah, I'm just it's I mean, are they ever able to actually track it? You know how they follow IP addresses, but I guess they're so good. I guess there's so many things you can do to mask that now, correct?
Yeah, it's a continual battle, and they do have some victories, but it's just an ongoing onslaught, right? So it's
It's
hard to
kind of
do.
like whack-a-mole.
That's exactly right.
Well, I have really enjoyed this, and it really has brought to mind even the personal safety to to lock up our computer. And like I was saying earlier, it's very similar to leaving your doors and your windows open and unlocked, where people can get in. We just forget that even on a computer or our systems, IT systems, you know, things have to be locked down.
Yeah, you know, I think what we have to do is we have to think about it in terms of maintenance, right? So we have to patch the stuff, and patching software just makes it stops it protects you from any flaws that have been released or anything like that. And when I think about it, if a farmer allowed his mechanics to treat his tractors as poorly as we do our systems, it just wouldn't happen, right?
Yeah, because
care about changing oil. We don't care about always patching the systems, and they're more critical.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad your company is here and you're specialized. And like I said, you grew up in farming and the IT, and I'm sure that is, you have plenty of business here. But for those who are going to jump on the bandwagon and take some assessments and lock down everything, how could they contact you? What is your contact details?
So the best thing is go to zagtech.com, ZAGTECH.com, and you can send an email to info@zagtech.com. Would be the best way to do it. Or just look me up on LinkedIn and message me there. I'm good that way too.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. It really has been a pleasure to have you join us today for this really critical and important subject. And as we say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we will see you in the fields and on the horizon.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.